Chapter 58. 3 o'clock this afternoon, ma'am, so to speak it.
Very well, you go with it.
A pretty wagon is better than an ugly hearse, after all. Joseph, have the new spring wagon with the blue body and red wheels, and wash it very clean.
And, Joseph,
yes, ma'am.
Carry with you some evergreens and flowers, to put upon her coffin indeed.
Gather a great many, and completely bury her in them.
Get some boughs of laurustinus, and variegated box, and yew, and boise of, and some bunches of chrysanthemum. And let old Pleasant draw her, because she knew him so well.
I will, ma'am.
I ought to have said that the union, in the form of 4 laboring men, will meet me when I gets to our churchyard gate, and take her, and bury her according to the rites of the Board of Guardians, as by law ordained.
Dear me, Casterbridge Union, and does Fanny come to this?
Said Bathsheba, musing.
I wish I had known of it sooner. I thought she was far away.
How long has she lived there?
Only been there a day or two.
Oh. Then as he has not been staying there as a regular inmate?
No.
She first went to live in a garrison town t'other side o' Wessex, and since then she's been picking up a living at seamstering in Melchester for several months, at the house of a very respectable widow woman who takes in work of that sort. She only got handy the Union House on Sunday morning, I believe, and 'tis supposed here and there that as he had traipsed every step of the way from Melchester.
Why she left her place, I can't say, for I don't know, and as to a lie, why, I wouldn't tell it.
That's the short of the story, ma'am. No gem ever flashed from a rosy ray to a white one more rapidly than changed the young wife's countenance, whilst this word came from her in a long-drawn breath.
Did she walk along our turnpike road?
She said, in a suddenly restless and eager voice.
I believe she did.
Ma'am, shall I call Liddy?
You bain't well, ma'am, surely?
You look like a lily so pale and fainty.
No, don't call her, it is nothing.
When did she pass Weatherbury?
Last Saturday night.
That will do, Joseph. Now you may go.
Certainly, ma'am.
Joseph, come hither a moment.
What was the color of Fanny Robin's hair?
Really, mistress, now that 'tis put to me so judge and jury-like, I can't call to mind, if he'll believe me.
Never mind. Go on and do what I told you.
Stop, well, no, go on.
She turned herself away from him, that he might no longer notice the mood which had set its sign so visibly upon her, and went indoors with a distressing sense of faintness and a beating brow. About an hour after, she heard the noise of the wagon and went out, still with a painful consciousness of her bewildered and troubled look.
Joseph, dressed in his best suit of clothes, was putting in the horse to start.
The shrubs and flowers were all piled in the wagon, as he had directed, but Sheba hardly saw them now.
Whose sweetheart did you say, Joseph?
I don't know, ma'am.
Are you quite sure?
Yes, ma'am, quite sure.
As sure of what?
I'm sure that all I know is that she arrived in the morning and died in the evening without further parley.
What Oak and Mr. Boldwood told me was only these few words.
Little Fanny Robin is dead. Joseph, Gabriel said, looking in my face in his steady old way.
I was very sorry, and I said,
ah. And how did she come to die?
Well, she's dead in Casterbridge Union, he said, and perhaps 'tisn't much matter about how she came to die.
She reached the Union early Sunday morning, and died in the afternoon, that's clear enough.
Then I asked what she'd been doing lately, and Mr. Boldwood turned round to me then, and left off spitting a thistle with the end of his stick.
He told me about her having lived by seamstering in Melchester, as I mentioned to you, and that she walked there from at the end of last week, passing near here Saturday night in the dusk. They then said I had better just name a hint of her death to you, and away they went.
Her death might have been brought on by biting in the night wind, you know, ma'am, for people used to say she'd go off in a decline.
She used to cough a good deal in winter time. However, 'tisn't much odds to us about that now, for 'tis all over. Have you heard a different story at all? She looked at him so intently that Joseph's eyes quailed.
Not a word, mistress, I assure ye, he said.
Hardly anybody in the parish knows the news yet. I wonder why Gabriel didn't bring the message to me himself. He mostly makes a point of seeing me upon the most trifling errand. These words were merely murmured, and she was looking upon the ground.
Perhaps he was busy, ma'am, Joseph suggested.
And sometimes he seems to suffer from things upon his mind, connected with the time when he was better off than is now. A's rather a curious item, but a very understanding shepherd, and learned in books. Did anything seem upon his mind whilst he was speaking to you about this?
I cannot but say that there did, ma'am. He was terrible down, and so was Farmer Boldwood.
Thank you, Joseph. That will do. Go on now, or you'll be late.
Bathsheba, still unhappy, went indoors again.
In the course of the afternoon she said to Liddy, who had been informed of the occurrence, what was the color of poor Fanny Robin's hair.
Do you know?
I cannot recollect. I only saw her for a day or two.
It was light, ma'am, but she wore it rather short, and packed away under her cap, so that you would hardly notice it.
But I have seen her let it down when she was going to bed, and it looked beautiful then.
Real golden hair.
Her young man was a soldier, was he not?
Yes.
In the same regiment as Mr. Troy. He says he knew him very well.
What, Mr. Troy says so?
How came he to say that?
One day I just named it to him, and asked him if he knew Fanny's young man.
He said, oh yes, he knew the young man as well as he knew himself, and that there wasn't a man in the regiment he liked better.
Ah. Said that, did he?
Yes. And he said there was a strong likeness between himself and the other young man, so that sometimes people mistook them.
Liddy, for heaven's sake stop your talking,
said Bathsheba, with the nervous petulance that comes from worrying perceptions.
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.